We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's. Right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network and WEEI.com.
It is hour number two, Mustard and Johnson. We had a three-hour fling last weekend. Back to our regularly scheduled two-hour show today. Larry Johnson, Craig Mustard, just warming the seat, as we said, for Mark James with a C, Andy Hart with a Y. They're in here coming up at 11 o'clock. Fireworks will ensue, we promise you. Meanwhile, we've been talking a lot about the Bruins and what happened to them. In game number seven, it looked like it was a done deal after Sunday night's very impressive 5-1 win in St. Louis. It was all just a question of where were you going to stay, where were you going to find a place on Boylston Street or near the river or wherever you're going to check out the Bruins in their rolling victory parade. It did not happen. Instead, St. Louis will have a parade today. What went wrong with the Bruins? Discussing the future of David Ortiz after that horrible incident down in Santo Domingo. And anything else on your mind at 617-779-7937. Let's get back to the phones. Check out our buddy Andy over in Framingham, who's next on Sports Radio.
Happy Father's Day, gentlemen.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing very well,
and
guys.
Andy, I want to know, how does one Andy from Framingham celebrate Father's Day weekend?
With a cold beer and a hamburger.
There you go. Sounds good to me. I might join you on that one.
Will you be?
Listen, guys, I want to say this before I get into this with the NHL. On this Ortiz thing, there's a lot of rumors flying around, and I mean, nothing's really been documented. Before we start singing to Holly's long, cool woman in a black dress, let's make sure that all the facts are in. I mean, Larry, I know you were quoting these rumors by the Daily Caller. They're about 40% right, which is not particularly accurate journalism.
But you would have to admit there is something very fishy going on.
Well, there is. Yeah. I understand. Right. But let's wait until we have all the facts are in before we start.
Good. You want to wait another 10 years? Go ahead and wait.
No, it will come out. They've arrested 9 people now, which is amazing.
Well, I know. It's like the JFK assassination. I mean, come on. Something funny is going on, but I'm not going to disparage this guy until I know everything. So
we do know he spent $85,000 on
it. How do we know that?
No, well, that's what it said.
Can I ask a jump in for a second here?
Sure.
If he indeed, we'll just say for discussion purposes, and I'm not confirming this, I'm not even saying it's true, but what if he did have an affair, allegedly, with this gangster's wife?
Yeah, how many
have
you had?
Okay, my point is, does that diminish what he did in a Red Sox uniform? Do you think less of David Ortiz?
No, but you shouldn't be afraid.
You shouldn't be afraid
to mention it.
Right. No, I don't know. I think we're all cynical and jaundiced enough to know that these things that we learn with Tiger
happen to everybody.
Just because they do.
I understand all that, but I'm still going to wait, guys.
When's the last time you bought a woman a car?
long, long time.
Andy's working on being a father again on Father's Day.
Yeah, cut it out. Hey, listen, on the NHL, explain this to me. It is so unpredictable, meaning the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's hard to predict who's going to win this thing. The Bruins look like they had the best team on paper, kind of beat up, though, throughout the series. I believe their chances might have been better if they played the seventh game in St. Louis.
Yeah, I didn't think St. Louis would be that physical when the whole series started.
Well, that's because it seems the officials were swallowing their whistle. Would you agree with that?
Yes, but I would say...
But I liked it, though. That's the kind of hockey I like.
Larry, you and I are in simpatico here on that. But however, if you're going to play against that kind of hockey, you need somebody else like a Lucic to kind of protect your flank.
Right, but
that's true. I mean, somebody was calling and talking about how St. Louis, kept the goal pretty clean, so Bennington would have a shot at seeing what was coming his way. Whereas the Bruins, you know, Tuukka had all kinds of St. Louis players.
But I'm telling you, I'm telling you this.
And you people are cowards.
What do you mean, you people?
You people, you can't admit it.
But here's the difference.
They needed a couple of thugs out there, won't admit it.
But here's the difference. The Blues were thugs. I thought they were engaging in thuggery early in the series in Game 7. They
did you enjoy that?
Can I finish a sentence, please?
No.
They were highly disciplined. And you know what? There was no cause for the officials to blow their whistles at all because the Blues played a physical, hard, but a clean game. Nobody who watched that game can complain about the officials.
You're talking about the seventh game. I agree with that.
I think they punished it. Why don't the people admit it? They punished the Bruins. They punished them.
But they did it in a way that you have for years on this radio station.
Yes.
And admired and extolled.
And I will continue to do that.
Right. Speaking of admired and extolled, John in Malden, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
The Yankees lose, and I'm calling, Craig.
Yeah. I give you a lot of credit. You're a stand-up guy, John.
Yeah, the more talent they get back, the more they lose.
I know. I liked them better when they were a plucky team.
Me too. No kidding. I mean, wait till we get all the guys back and start losing. Yeah. Then we'll really, you know.
Then you'll be in a true tailspin. Long way to go, John. A little bit too early to worry about baseball. That's my motto.
Hey, Craig, real quick. If David Ortiz had an affair and it doesn't take away from his baseball, what's the difference between him and Tiger Woods?
Because I learned my lesson last time. Maybe it's golf. I don't know. You know, he always portrayed himself, Tiger, as this family man. I remember listening to an interview years ago. They asked, what's a typical day in the life of Tiger Woods? And he said, oh, you'd be totally bored. We just sit around and watch movies at home. Yeah, right.
What kind of movies?
He was a total and utter fraud. I never forgave him for it. It's 10 years and I still haven't.
So if he did go out and buy a woman a car for $85,000, what does that make him?
Listen, the guy is, and John, much to our chagrin, he's the most clutch player we've ever seen in our lifetime in baseball. You'd have to admit that, right, John?
No, I wouldn't go
there. Okay, he's right alongside number two in pinstripes. He's one of the clutch players of all time. He's a Hall of Famer.
He's certainly one of the clutch players.
He destroyed the Yankees in their glory days many times. We all know what happened in 04, and I'm just going to treat him as one of the greatest players in the history of the game.
Nobody's denying any of that.
Right.
But his greatness on the field should not give him a green ticket to just stamp it and validate
it.
And just say, oh, well, boys will be boys.
Well, you know what it is? I think,
I'm glad he's okay.
I think we understand that baseball players, shall we say, get involved in extracurricular activity.
Well, they have more time in the town.
Right. They're on the road a lot. They're used to that particular, quote, lifestyle. When it happens to a Tiger who's a golfer or maybe Bob Kraft who's hanging out at Orchids of Asia, then it's shocking because we have a different image of those
people.
Excuse me,
you're taking shots at Bob Kraft
now? I'm not.
Now?
I'm just telling that that's our expectation.
What used to be? What do you? Is that what you're trying
to do?
John,
you want to say anything? Because Larry just seems to want to babble.
Well, I mean, you guys are babbling on here. But, I mean, also, David Ortiz is from another country, a different culture. You know, I mean.
So what are you saying? It's all right over there?
Well, I just think a lot of, you know, different cultures, Larry. I mean, they have mistresses. They have women on the side.
Listen,
they beat their women. They do a lot of things.
Well, what's your excuse?
Right. I'm not condoning it because other cultures condone extramarital affairs. I know what the average professional athlete does, and certainly Tiger should have been included in that group.
All right, we understand
those things happen.
But when did you stop?
Real quick on the Bruins.
Is this your attempt at humor? I'm not quite sure.
It's not the humor. It's the truth.
I thought you said you went to that sleep clinic. You seem like punch drunk here.
I am.
Lack of sleep.
I am.
Anything else, John?
Yeah, you know, the Bruins, they had one game left. That was their Super Bowl. It was, you know, and I don't buy this home and a road stuff. I mean, they were at home. They had the crowd behind them. It was game 7. Tuukka had been playing great all playoffs. They were all, and to lose like that was a very flat way to go out.
Why did they lose?
Because their top lines aren't good enough. They're not big enough. They're not strong enough. And they suffered, I think, from sweeping Carolina before them, who played the exact opposite St. Louis did. Carolina gave them all kinds of room to move and groove and score all kinds of goals. And then, you know, they played those 4 games. It was pretty soft. And then they come to St. Louis, and there wasn't that room to move around.
Bam.
And they And they didn't see, yeah.
But, John, hold on a second. I know that's a theory, and I've heard that, but the rebuttal is, that being said, in the 11-game layoff, 11-day layoff and everything else, they still had a 2-1 lead in that, and that second win was a 7-2 blowout in St. Louis. It was all being set up for them. What happened?
Right, they had all this time to rest, right? Remember that overtime game? What was that, the second game? Was that game two?
Yes.
That St. Louis came out, and the Bruins looked like they had cement skates on. Right.
You know what I think?
Why are they so tired?
You know, I'll tell you the pivotal moment in that game was O'Reilly's wraparound first minute in game number four. I think that changed the entire series.
He was terrific.
Yeah,
O'Reilly.
That wraparound, and that was Tuukka's fault. Tuukka should have stopped that wraparound. A little bit lazy. It was early in the game. It was less than a minute into it, and I think that completely changed the fortunes of both teams after that.
Okay, but you still got to give the Bruins credit for winning Game 6. They could have went down in Game 6 like they went down in Game 7. It could have been 4-1. Right. It could have went, you know, St. Louis could have raised the puck in their own building, the cup. And nope, but the Bruins played a really good game, so you really felt like, okay, you know, we're going to bring something to the table here.
Hey, listen, I thought it was all over. I thought everybody thought it was all over after Sunday night. It was just a question of where you're going to be in the rolling parade.
Well, the better team won because the Bruins just weren't the better team in that last game.
Nope.
So what are you going to do?
And unfortunately, thanks for the call, John. Unfortunately, that's how we're all going to remember this Bruins season. We're not going to think about the sweep of Carolina. We're not going to think about coming back from 3-2 down against Toronto. We're not even going to think about that winning that elimination game in St. Louis on Sunday night. We're going to think, it wasn't a flat performance as much as they got their butts kicked.
You know what it is? People were anticipating Red Sox win the World Series, Patriots win the Super Bowl, and they were anticipating the Bruins. I tell you, I don't know what the Celtics front office was like, but boy, it took a load of pressure off of them in terms of the team performing well.
I would bet, and I don't know how, if there's tension or conflict or there's a rivalry between the two. I know there's a rivalry sometimes between the fans of the Celtics and the Bruins.
Well, there would have been some. If the Bruins had won, making three pro teams here in Boston winning championships and the Celtics down the bottom, that would not have gone over too big.
No, and you know, I mean, you know, we all went into our history books and we found out that the last time it happened was 35-36 with the Red Wings and the Tigers and the Lions dominating the scene from the Motor City in the mid, right in the middle of the Depression. And this was a fait accompli. It was going to happen. It was just a question of what day they were going to schedule the parade. And St. Louis had other ideas, but it is amazing.
This would have worked out perfectly, though.
Perfect day, great weather, beginning of the summer, another parade. And now we're going to have to go another 100 days or so without a parade. We had to go over 100 days without a parade after the Patriots, of course, had theirs in February. Now the only next possibility is the Red Sox.
It's hard to get motivated. If I'm them, though, isn't it hard to get motivated now? Even when the beginning and the season starts next year and they're practicing at Warrior Arena and you're just saying, you know, it's so
it's
close.
It's the worst. I know. It has got to be the worst.
All over
you
again.
You had it in your grasp. It was all there for the taking. Tampa Bay, Winnipeg, Calgary, Washington, Pittsburgh all bounced out early in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Mm. And you could see that 35-pound chalice known as Lord Stanley's Cup waiting for you. You could see Boston Bruins 2019 etched on the trophy. And it just didn't happen. It is frustrating. And
does it weigh that much?
35 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I was reading a piece this morning. Paul DuPont in The Globe referring to it as a 35-pound trophy. And the way they lift that thing up over their heads, I thought it was a lot less than that.
Yeah,
I
know. They were happy to surrender it to somebody else, though, I'll tell you that.
What do you mean?
When they were holding it over their heads, and then they'd skate over immediately and give it to somebody. Here, you take it.
Well, it is getting heavier with time because they're more Stanley Cup champions, but that name should have been etched in it. And you wonder now where the Bruins, you know, the Bruins had an opportunity to win a second cup. Of course, they had that opportunity to win a third back in 13. They could have been a three-time Stanley Cup champion in this decade. And, you know, he could put them right alongside the Kings and the Blackhawks and the Penguins as dominant teams. But when you lose two finals.
Yeah, Tuukka's stock would have went up. Right. Went through the ceiling.
Well, you think about it. Tuukka gives up the two goals in 17 seconds. I'm not blaming him at the end of that Blackhawks series, game six at home. And then, of course, the two goals and four shots in the first period against St. Louis on Wednesday night. And I don't care how good you are. I don't care what your save percentage is. I don't care what your goals against average is. You got to make at least one of those stops. I'm sorry. You got to.
Yeah.
Especially when the guy at the other end of the ice is, standing on his head.
Bennington.
Ridiculous.
6-1. Imagine his schedule, too, going from the minor leagues and then playing at Providence and then end up playing against the Bruins.
Yeah, 25-year-old rookie. Going into camp, he was the fourth goaltender. Really didn't get a whole lot of action. His first game was in January. It was a shutout against the Flyers. That's where that whole Gloria thing got together. They won a game against the Flyers. They were in a Philly bar. They heard Gloria, and that became the rallying. That became their Sweet Caroline. And I had a very bad feeling. I was at Ace Hardware, Larry, as I tend to do. I'm a big fix-it guy. You know me. I love to putter around the house with tools and everything else. Hardy-har. You're supposed to laugh at that.
Is that your attempt at humor?
Well, I mean, maybe you don't know, but I'm not very good at those kind of things. But
What are you good at?
Not very much. Obviously not this. So I was in there looking for, I don't know what I was looking for. I probably didn't know what I was looking for even when I was in there.
Trying to steal something.
And I was walking out the door. And on the store intercom, they were playing Gloria by Laura Branigan. Why are they playing this? This is the worst omen. This is the rallying song for the St. Louis Blues. I mean, come on. And it all turned out bad. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Was it circa 1982? Laura Branigan. Where is Laura Branigan today? Probably very happy.
Did the Bruins have a theme song?
She's not dead. Is she? No, she's still with us. I'm pretty sure she's still with us. Look, let's look that up. I'm pretty sure she's still with us.
Did the Bruins have a theme song like?
I'm not aware of it. Maybe.
Oh, maybe that was the problem.
Can I ask a question? This is another question.
Yeah, Laura Branigan's dead.
Is she really?
Yeah, she died August 26, 2004.
How old? She's a very young woman.
52 to 2004. Math was not my strong suit.
52 to 2004. She's 52 years old.
Very young.
Wow.
Nice call, Craig.
Very sad. But somewhere, I'm sure Laura Branigan and that great hockey arena in the sky is smiling today. We're not, but she is. 617-779-7937. Nick is in Weymouth, and he is next on Sports Radio. Nick.
Craig. Hi, Larry. Hey, Larry. I haven't talked in quite some time, so prayed for you while you were gone. Glad that you were back.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, kid. Hey, listen.
You called me kid.
Don't you love that when somebody calls you kid?
Yeah. I like when they say young man. What's up?
All right, kid. Bruins. Yeah, I know. Why would you mess with the team? They were only like one game away. Well, it's all about the cup, isn't it? Size-wise, they've only got 7 guys over 200 pounds. The Blues have 18 guys over 200 pounds. And when I say over 200 pounds, there aren't many fat hockey players, if you know what I mean. All right. So they got the size. And with the restrictions on fighting as they are, to me, it makes the game more of a bullying game. And that game was won early on in the series when they got away with things they were doing. Anyways.
Did you like that?
What I'd like to see them is to bring in some guys that can forecheck. Nobody can tell me the Bruins were forechecking, right? I guess that's not part of their style, and that's fine if you can get to where you are. But to me, one of the staples of offense is you have to forecheck. I'd like to see them take Krug and make him a forward. I don't really like him on defense. I know he got the goals, but
he's got that great shot from the point.
As a facet to that team as a forward. And maybe you could give him a contract.
Wait a minute, Nick. You've been watching hockey for a long time. When have you ever seen a defenseman converted to a forward? When has that ever happened?
Well, he's not a huge guy, and I think he can do it. I think he can.
I mean, I would say, yeah, in theory, you're right. If you had to pick one guy, because he's 5'9", he's small, he has a great slap shot.
I like him bringing the puck out of his
own. He's great on the power play. There's no question about it. But I mean, it just doesn't happen. You don't convert at this point in your career. You don't convert from a defenseman to a forward. If it happened, it happened a long time ago, and there might be some examples. But I am completely unaware of those. Danny from Quincy, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
We have the highest sun angle of the year coming up, Craig.
That's right. What's the solstice? What's summer solstice? The 21st?
Friday.
Friday. Nice. Yep.
Yeah, next Friday.
Yep.
And that's it, going the other way. Anyways, one thing on the goalies, Craig, you know, I always said Ross could never hold a candle to what Thomas did. He single-handedly won the series for them. Up until this year, Ross was the only reason the Bruins got to Game 7. Okay? He let up some easy goals, but this year, specifically in this playoff run, was the reason why the Bruins got this far. I don't see how you can even dispute that.
No one's disputing it. In order of importance,
in my opinion, out of the four sports, the most important player on a team is the goalie in hockey. Number two is pitching in baseball. And, yes, number three is the quarterback in football. That's how I rate them.
I put quarterback number one.
No, because football is a team sport. You can win without a quarterback.
Oh, really?
11 on one side, 11 on the other.
Wait a minute. What town are we in with this discussion?
It doesn't matter. Well, that's you, not me. I mean, that's you.
So, you think Brady's everything? Yeah, well, he is.
I don't want to get on that road. No debate.
No debates. All right.
Go ahead. You want to debate it? As long as you can.
No, I don't want to debate it. We all know. We both agree that the goaltender, especially in the playoffs, is critical. And I give
he's
you.
He's the last line of defense.
Right. And he
shoots the puck. If he either goes in or it doesn't.
Right. And I give. Rask is the ultimate textbook. He's a great textbook goaltender. But you know as well as I do, he hasn't been spectacular. He hasn't been Tim Thomas-like. He hasn't been Jordan Binnington-like. He's very, very good.
Binnington was terrible up until the first period. This is where I think they lost the game.
Right. But would you say, if you think goaltender is so important?
And they absolutely assaulted St. Louis. They bought whatever phrase you want to put on it, adjective you want to describe it. I said to myself, the Bruins either better score on this barrage or they better not let St. Louis score. I think it was the second shot on net. After that barrage, St. Louis comes down and they score. I think it was a deflection from the point.
It was.
And you get right? And then Marchand decided he needed a rest. But it was 7 seconds left in the period.
Tell me.
And he decided he needed a rest.
Danny,
the period was over, and they score. That was the game. You couldn't have a pin drop in that place after that goal before the first period. That was it.
Danny, did you lose it completely? Did you lose your you-know-what right about then and there?
It was over. I was demoralized. Right. I after that barrage, they could not put it by Ben. Of all goalies, Bennington. Well, I fought it last week. Remember I called last week, and I said after game five, all they have to do is shoot the puck on the guy, and they'll get it by him. And they did. Game six is what they did. They did the opposite of what they did in game five.
But you have to, Danny, you have to give him credit. You have to give him credit for a guy. He showed tremendous resolve psychologically and physically just to get back in between the pipes after getting beat pretty soundly at home on Sunday night. To do that in enemy territory, that was an unbelievable performance.
And you got to give the Bruins credit because, I mean, nobody brought up the fact that they absolutely came out and assaulted St. Louis in the first period.
Right.
Nobody brought that up. And the guy, he was Tim Thomas.
Yes.
He was a Tim Thomas. I couldn't believe it. Of all things that you never expected, that goalie to do what he did. And then St. Louis, they got second shoulder on net down the other end after being just exploited, excoriated in their own end for most of the period. They come down and score, and it's 1-0
right.
St. Louis
right.
after all that.
Right.
And then Marchand has a brain. I don't know what happened. I thought Marchand was the MVP of this team. And he just completely.
He had to go to the bathroom, Danny. What do you want him to do?
I'll tell you, Danny, I appreciate the call. Happy summer solstice. Can't wait for that sun angle to be at its highest come next Friday.
Yeah, we got cheated out of spring.
As always.
Got to talk to God about that.
As always. But, you know, you look at this thing, and it really was a mirror image of what Tim Thomas did when he went out to Vancouver, shut him out 4-0 to win the Cup in 2011. Binnington essentially had the same performance.
That Reebok save was the best I've ever seen. But the stick guy comes in. Takes a shot, and Thomas gets down on the ice. And he takes a stick.
That was earlier in the series, however. That wasn't in Game 7. By Game 7, they had won in the Garden in Games. That was when Marchand had that pass to himself off the boards and the goal.
That was in Vancouver.
That was in Boston. And then they won.
Sure?
Yeah, it was in Boston.
Vancouver.
Nope, won in Boston 5-2, and then they went out to Vancouver and sealed it.
I thought he hit it off the boards. I thought that was Vancouver.
No, it was in that was in Game number 6. And in Boston, they went out and sealed the deal with that 4-0.
You thought Laura Brannigan was still alive, too.
I did. I was wrong on that, but I'm not wrong about Marchand.
Yeah.
Poor Laura Brannigan. But at least she's smiling somewhere, knowing that she inspired the Blues. But it was a bad omen at Ace Hardware in Millis, Massachusetts on Wednesday.
Why didn't you go in there and tell them to shut that up?
I can't believe they actually played that. I guess they were probably unaware of the connection to the Blues. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We have more of your calls coming up. Mustard and Johnson up to 11 o'clock. Mark James with a C, Andy Hart with a Y. It's all happening at 11 right here on Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Since the Kevin Durant injury, there's been, I guess I'd say, a renewed invigoration within the Celtics organization about maybe convincing Kyrie Irving to stay in Boston. I think before the Durant injury, there was a strong belief that he was going to walk out the door. But now that Durant's hurt and likely out for at least next season, and who knows what he looks like beyond that, I think there's a sense that maybe they can convince Kyrie to stay. And if they're able to construct a deal that the Pelicans will accept, even if it includes Jason Tatum, they can turn and go to Kyrie and say, if...
That is SI's Chris Mask. We had him on last week, of course. And interesting speculation. Certainly other reports indicate.
I don't want him.
You don't want Kyrie?
Nope. Why would you beg somebody to come back and play for your team and they don't want to?
You don't subscribe to the theory, the Big O theory. You usually subscribe to almost everything Big O says.
Oh, sure.
Pretty much ditto head when it comes to the O. That any team in the National Basketball Association without a certified superstar, not capable of winning a championship.
Oh, I do think you need. I don't know how good the youth would be at this, with the Celtics if they had left him alone the year before and just let him continue to grow and develop. I don't know.
But do you put any credence in Mr. Mannix's assertion that with KD going down, that changes how things transpire with Kyrie?
I could see that. I could see that.
I thought about it. And I guess if you're looking for things bouncing the Celtics' way, perhaps that would. If you are one of these people that thinks that Kyrie Irving should stay in Boston. But again, I've said this. I have done a less than scientific survey. I admit this is not the Quinnipiac poll here, but I have yet to find anybody, a Celtic fan, who's interested in Kyrie coming back. We know he's mercurial. We know he's flaky.
5 years, Craig? We could barely tolerate him last year.
But see, you know, and obviously with him changing agents, he is now at Jay-Z's agency. He is no longer an owner with the Nets, but certainly has some connections there. And there are people who are involved in that agency that are connected to the current Nets administration. So it would be, at this point, it seems hard to believe, despite Chris Mannix's reporting and speculation that Kyrie would be returning to Boston. So that makes you feel good. You like that.
I don't, you know, yeah. No, listen, anybody can watch the guy play, and you know he has incredible talent. I don't want it, but I'm willing to accept the fact that this might be the best solution if he changes his mind all the time and if he doesn't want to play here.
What are your feelings about Anthony Davis through his agent, Rich Paul?
You know, I don't know enough about him. You read reports and stuff, and one minute he's Superman, and the next minute, you know, just not consistent.
Talking about AD?
Yeah.
To me, a guy that's had what? He's been involved in two postseasons in his career. He's been, and here he is, you know, 6-7 years in. Guy has immense talent, can run the floor. He's a big man, can do a lot of things on the basketball floor.
Did he play with Horford?
But he hasn't done a thing. He hasn't done a thing. With all that talent. And
yeah, get that Stevie Wonder song, You Haven't Done Nothing.
You Haven't Done Nothing, one of the great ones. And I just wonder if, you know, for all his talent, is it worth sacrificing Jaylen Brown? You're probably going to have to give up based on, you know, that two teams.
Tatum certainly,
and Brown, Jaylen probably. Brown, yeah. Probably Tatum and Brown. Is that worth it?
Tatum's another one. Yeah. He faded last year. He didn't have a good year at all.
No, but I mean, he's still very young. He's like 21 years old, Larry. Come on. His upside, as they say in the NBA, is pretty substantial. I would prefer to see Jason Tatum stay. Obviously, AD would be a tremendous addition. But I don't see AD having any value unless Kyrie stays. And then you have that 1-2 combination.
Right.
And perhaps, best case scenario for the Celtics, that Kyrie gets his act together, maybe playing alongside another superstar.
I mean, if they had Kyrie and Davis and one of the other young guys, certainly that would be as good as any other team out there.
Right.
Particularly if they're recovering from that, from their leg injuries, and they're going to be out. Then who's to stop him in the East?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just look at it this way. Between now and July 1st is going to be fascinating. It was a good year in the NBA, interesting year in the playoffs, obviously, without LeBron. But LeBron could get AD. That could change everything out West, particularly with KD down. And Thompson's not going to be playing for the lion's share next year in the regular season. He might be available for the playoffs. You don't know with the ACL. So things are going to be wide open now in the West. You don't know where KD's going. It doesn't look like he's going to return to Golden State. I don't know how much credibility the Mannix report. He's plugged in, Chris is, no question about it. I love having him on. I don't know if that changes things for Kyrie. It looks as like he's pretty resolved to get out of here. And, again, how much do you believe, because we've heard this before, I'm absolutely going to play just 1 year. If you trade for me, that's you're going to get 1 year, and after that, when I'm a free agent, I'm out of here. And that's going to be, speaking of that, Kawhi. Your man, Kawhi Leonard. Just a tremendous performance in the finals. Really.
All these guys seem to be screwed up in the head, though. Do you notice that?
How are they screwed up?
Kawhi Leonard, he doesn't know what he's going to do. He doesn't want to talk, and he does. If you're Toronto, how do you know what you're going to get?
Well, if you're Kawhi, of course you're going to keep your cards close to your vest. You might want to stay in Toronto, but you want to obviously get that max contract somewhere. And now you have to assess what's more important. I can win another championship. Maybe I can win two or three championships if I stay in Toronto. They have certainly the makings. They have all the pieces together to be a powerhouse and continue to win. Or do I want to go back home? The big rumor, of course, he wants to go to the Clippers. He's from Southern California. I really cannot wait to this whole thing starts to really pick up speed as we get closer to July 1st. It's going to be a great NBA offseason. Whether or not the Celtics are going to be able to profit from that, we shall find out. 617-779-7937. It is Paul in Boston who's next on Sports Radio.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, boys?
Good. Hey, how you doing?
So, not too bad. So, here's my take on the Boston Celtics. They went as far as Gordon Hayward allowed them to go. It all depended on Gordon Hayward's health. Gordon Hayward was never 100% last year, not even close.
Right.
I think I would have to say that he topped out around maybe 80, 85%. But if you look at the games that Gordon Hayward had, let's say 12 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, or better, the Celtics, and I've done this, I've looked at it, the Celtics had an 800 winning percentage, including in the playoffs. If Gordon Hayward was 100% last year, the Celtics would have been in the finals. I'm convinced of that. Now, I might be wrong. I mean, anything can happen, right?
Well, he had a terrific game in game one against Milwaukee.
That's right, he did. Yeah. Do you remember that one play when he went up for a layup?
Yeah.
And they were already up by 20 points, and it was late in the fourth quarter, and he got knocked on his butt, and he came down on that ankle. Nothing was ever said about that.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I honestly don't remember that play, Paul, but I do think he was playing some pretty good basketball, solid basketball.
Excellent basketball.
Right. Here's the problem, though.
He was never at 100%.
Right, but here's the problem.
You can't – one man cannot carry the load. And, I mean, how did Steph Curry do when Klay Thompson went down in Game 7?
Yeah, he had a shot, but
missed the last shot.
Yep. No, listen. Hayward is an excellent player. I don't know if he's a max contract player. That injury against Cleveland last year, obviously.
You know what? If you look at the highlight films of the last year that he was healthy in Utah, that kid is a basketball player.
Well, not last year.
And if he's 100% this year, and he may not be. It took Paul George a couple of years.
Absolutely. Here's my problem, Paul. Paul, here's my problem. I'm not convinced, and you may be right, I'm not convinced that he is, with Kyrie gone, if they don't bring in Anthony Davis, is he going to be...
Kyrie, you do not want Kyrie Irving going anywhere. Kyrie Irving is the best point guard that the Celtics have had since Tiny Archibald. He's the best offensive point guard they've had since Tiny Archibald. That kid he can bring it.
Here's the difference, though, Paul. Paul, here's the difference, and I appreciate the call. This is how I would separate Tiny Archibald with Kyrie. Kyrie's a much better player as far as, explosive. Tiny, did one year with Kansas City lead the league in both scoring and assists. We certainly know he had the talent. By the time he came, he was an older player. He was in his early to mid-30s by the time he came to Boston when Larry was just becoming a great player. He had Larry Bird on his team. Tiny Archibald was a true point guard in every sense of the word. He was a distributor. He broke. He did the dribble drive. He passed off the dribble. He broke down defenses. And he had Mikhail Parrish Bird. Kyrie's a different kind of player. He's not a true point guard. I don't think of him as like a 1.5 Larry, a guy that's not really a distributor as much as he's a scorer. And the difference is that Tiny understood as a veteran player. He had never won before. He finally understood what he had to do to contribute to a championship team. Kyrie's all about Kyrie, unfortunately. So I wouldn't make that comparison.
I think if to be an effective point guard, I think you got to want to do that. You got to understand your role.
No, and Tiny did that. He understood his role. He wasn't going to be the scorer with Larry Bird, Kevin McHale at all on the team. Kyrie still seems to be always about Kyrie. Mike in Framingham, you're next on Sports Radio.
Hey, Mike.
EEI.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Larry, I like you a lot, but last week you kind of rubbed me the wrong way when you were calling out Durant for not being tough enough and not playing because Tara was playing with his jaw. But Durant,
Durant for not playing.
I hope you guys can find the tapes because basically you were saying that, Larry.
Why would I? No, listen, that was a debatable call. That's what we were discussing. It was a debatable call as to whether or not he should have got back out there.
Yeah, but one thing says it's a debatable call, but basically you were calling him out, too. I hope you can find the page. You were saying like he wasn't tough enough like Chara and not playing.
So Larry denies it, but apparently, Mike, we have evidence that Larry indeed, once engaging in hypocritical commentary.
And Jack Youngblood did it also. I mean, the fact that get out. Get out on the floor.
You're harsh.
Yeah, damn right I'm harsh. This is a playoff series.
Do you really believe that Kevin Durant is, like, nursing a minor injury so he can...
He's been working out on the floor and everything. Listen, if you can limp, get out there.
Mike, thank you very much. Exposed as the ultimate fraud that he truly is. Mike, after 24 years of faking it, you've finally been outed.
Hey, profane man, can you be quiet for a minute?
You were just ripping him. You were ripping him a new one.
No. Before his second injury, he was out there shooting and doing all kind of things. So he certainly looked like he was prepared to get back out there.
Shooting around and playing a game are two totally different things. You have to understand that.
Yeah. Mike, I don't know if I'm sure you were watching the game. I thought it right away. As soon as he started limping around, then he had to sit down. That had to be an Achilles.
You knew that.
And I did. Yeah, I mean, looked at, okay.
Where were your witnesses at the hardware store?
I have very credible witnesses. Yeah, okay. I can have my son can testify in my behalf.
What else is he going to say? You're giving him a ride to practice.
We both said that was an Achilles. Unlike Larry Johnson, he pretends to be Mr. Fellowship, Mr. Christianity. Get out there, you wimp.
He looked like he could have got out
there. Oh, you looked from 3,000 miles away.
Larry Johnson. And you knew that he had the Achilles from 35.
Was I right?
Unfortunately, nobody heard you.
Was I right? My son, Bryson Muster, was right there when it happened.
Oh, stop it. He's not going to disagree with you.
We both looked at each other and said, KD.
Yeah, my dad's the greatest in the world.
You know what?
He never says anything wrong.
You know what? I'm hearing a lot of people, who to blame? You know, the general manager was weeping over the fact
in hindsight, it turned around, he shouldn't have played.
But people like you put like pressure me. On KD, you insensitive, callous people. Yeah.
If you can limp, get out there.
Get out there.
But no, that was before the second injury, obviously.
Mike from Framingham, you are the caller not only of the day, but of the Mustard and Johnson
Mike,
era.
I'll admit I was wrong.
You were wrong.
Like I said, but the first,
you were not admitting it until it was on tape. The smoking gun. This is like Watergate, 1974.
You want to go back to
June 23rd.
You want to go back to your use of profanity last week and about swallowing the puck?
Thankfully, it's been bleeped out.
See, they bleep your stuff out. That's the difference.
Well, I mean, you're just going on and on and on. You were calling KD out as being in ultimate
win. If you saw the footage, looked like he could have got out there.
All right. 617.
They needed him.
779. 793.
But they're debating that now, whether he should have got back out there.
I don't think there was any debate.
At the time, before.
See,
they thought they could have got out there.
They were under pressure. They were down 3-1.
Yeah, nobody heard this alleged opinion that you had.
And KD heard Larry Johnson imparting his pearls of wisdom. He said, I got to go out there.
Yeah,
617-779-7937.
I got to get out there.
Your final thoughts, maybe on KD, maybe on the Celts. Final thoughts, again, on the Bruins, who, in case you missed it, did not win the Stanley Cup on Wednesday night. And coming up right around the bend, everybody's a little on edge.
Yeah, they're putting ropes up in the
studio.
You
can cut the tension with a knife, ladies and gentlemen. They have a police detail outside. This could be very, very ugly. Mark James, Andy Hart, together for the first time, like nitro and glycerin, right here on Sports Radio, WEEI.
If you can limp, get out there.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
And I'm very excited to be back, and I'm very excited to move on and see what happens. And not excited to move on.
Well, you should be excited to
move on. I'm excited for a new challenge and adventure.
I'm excited for it.
Andy Hart saying goodbye to Patriot.com and hello to WEEI. Now, there are some vicious rumors out there, and we've been stoking them, we have to admit.
I noticed.
That Andy Hart, with an Y, and Mark James with a C, really do not like each other very much, and there's going to be some major fireworks erupting in our studios.
Going to find out. We're going to find out in the next four hours.
What is the origin, Andy?
He hate me.
What is the origin of this tension between you guys?
I would say difference. I think we're two very different people.
In what way?
He is Mr. National Radio TV guy, big voice.
Ask him. He'll tell
you. Yeah. He can answer for himself. And I'm just the local yokel. Yeah, I'm just the little Patriots.com chugga 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 train.
You know what I've always said about you, Andy, and we just met 5 minutes ago.
Oh, here he goes.
The first time I heard you go, this guy's got a great voice. Who's that guy? For a writer, you got great pipes. You got great pipes. Period. You should be on the radio. As a matter of fact, you have better pipes than this guy over here. It's supposed to be some.
Well,
national
celebrity. I never claim to have it. By the way, Craig, do you live?
Are your eyes open? But your eyes are barely open.
First of all, do you live in a barn? Look at this crap here.
You know what? I have a wife to tell me that. I don't need you telling me about it.
I thought I was the one who hated you.
Exactly.
No, hold on. Well, Andy and I got 4 hours, but I only got like 2 minutes with you. Look at this. I'm actually going to take a picture of what I have to walk into. So now I got to go in the men's bathroom, and I have to like get wet paper towel. Look at this crap. This is unbelievable,
you know what
Craig.
He's doing, Larry? He's avoiding.
He's avoiding the obvious.
He's calling you a pig.
You know,
don't worry. Andy and I got
first person. Believe me.
Andy and I got 4 hours, and listen, don't worry. I'll get to him starting at 11. But seriously, look at this crap.
And your little dog, too.
Right.
You know what? You know the only other person be Dale Arnold.
Oh. Well, they have points.
Oh, you're agreeing now with Dale.
Well, I'm agreeing. Listen, they have points.
Can we get back to the fact that you hate Andy Hart, please?
No, first of all, hey, and Jerry Callahan asked me this yesterday. He even asked me about Dale. Now, Dale, I have much more disdain for.
Oh.
Because.
Look at you.
Like, you know, Andy, he doesn't know me. He calls me a TV guy when I'm a radio guy.
My name's James.
Like, come on.
Weren't you a TV guy up until a week ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. I've always been a radio guy, first and foremost.
So what, did you leave Nesson just to prove to Andy Hart that you're not a TV guy?
No.
Wow, you're committed to this. I like it. I can appreciate that.
Radio guy since May 04. Yeah. Radio guy
since May 04. Figured out what you're going to do?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to share it with us?
We're going to share that?
No,
one to
we're
three?
Not, no, we're not.
What?
We're not sharing anything.
Whoa. Everything's an open book. No?
I'm at EEI right now. That's all I know.
You got more secrets than Donald Trump. Are you really?
I got one what?
More secrets.
Oh, he's comparing you to the president. No, that used to be a good
thing. Quite an honor.
I'm sure it is.
Right. But are you going to clean this up, Craig?
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
You're really fixated on that little coffee spill.
Yeah, well, look at this. This is disgusting.
But he didn't leave yet. Wait a minute, you presumed he wasn't going to clean up. He does this all the time.
He's a pig.
You know, I was really excited for a steel cage death match between Andy Hart and Don't worry, we got four hours.
You know, I'm talking about right now. This is disgusting.
I will go clean up after myself.
I've heard from Dickerson.
I know. He's coming back.
Is he?
Is he when?
That's what Jerry says. He's coming back Wednesday.
Yeah,
it's going to be on Martin Callahan on Wednesday.
Oh, I love that guy.
And I do, too. So what did he say to you?
He just said, boy, sounds like things are a little wacky over there.
Well,
aren't they always?
What's changed? Yeah, right.
I mean, he's part of it at times.
That was great. Well, Andy Hart, there have been a lot of ex-co-hosts that have been left in this guy's wake over here. So be prepared.
I'm ready.
There's a graveyard of Mark James co-hosts. We'll look for the body. All right. Thanks, David, on the other side of the glass.
And by the way, don't ever say anything bad about Kevin Durant's manhood again.
Wait, wasn't that pathetic? I love Larry this called out. By
that caller exposed him, and you and Craig, man, that was pretty good.
After the first injury, and then I saw footage of him out there working out and everything, I said, he can get out there.
All right,
A lot of people said that.
All right, we're out of here.
Hey, Piggy Man.
I'm out of here.
Piggy Man.
I'm going to go clean up after myself.
No, by the way, Larry's going to stick around with us like he did that one time.
I'm going to get some popcorn.
Well, they scrubbed that audio pretty quickly.
Hey, I'm going to stick around and watch.
Welcome to this weekend in Sanity, Andy Hart. We'll see you next week at 9. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.